In the year 1773, the British Empire began to exert greater control over affairs in the American colonies. The colonists were experiencing what they considered to be unfair taxation. The empire had enhanced its military presence and had forced those living in the colonies to house British troops. The freedom that the colonists enjoyed was being taken away from them. Skirmishes between the British troops and the colonial militia in April 1775 started the conflict, and by the summer of 1776, there was a full-scale war for independence. At the heart of this struggle was a simple truth. The human spirit was made for freedom, not for slavery. This is a political truth and also a spiritual one. 1,500 years prior to the American struggle for independence, the Israelite people were entrenched in their own struggle for freedom in Egypt. With their exodus from Egypt under the leadership of Moses, God freed the Israelite people after 400 years of physical slavery. They went out into the desert and found themselves free, or so they thought. Unfortunately, once the physical slavery was removed, it uncovered a more serious form of bondage, spiritual slavery. God's goal is that his people be both physically and spiritually free, because he made the human spirit for freedom. That thirst for peace and for freedom is at the heart of our first reading. Zechariah prophesies the coming of a new leader. Rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you. Jesus fulfills that prophecy. Jesus comes to set us free from slavery and oppression, but in a way very different from the ways of the ruling powers of his day and of our day. There's a profound verse that speaks of God's way of liberation. The verse from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians says, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave. God's approach to liberation involves self-sacrifice. Here comes your king, not carrying himself like the kings of the world. He's not coming as one who will lord it over others. He is not one who is intent on making others submit to his authority. Rather, we hear a just Savior is he. Jesus is in the business of setting us free and saving us, but his primary concern is spiritual slavery, because he made the human spirit for freedom. But the human spirit will not experience true freedom until it is willing to walk the path of self-sacrifice. We've been freed by a just Savior, and then what do? We turn around and choose to be enslaved again. We voluntarily subject ourselves to spiritual slavery. Why do we do that? Because we're okay with Jesus sacrificing himself for us, and we're okay with other people sacrificing for us, but we're not so quick to let go of those things to which we are attached. But the human spirit will not experience true freedom until it walks the path of self-sacrifice. Spiritual slaves are what St. Paul referred to in our second reading as debtors of the flesh, meaning we are bound and controlled by our human desires. Now, debtor of the flesh can show itself in actual financial debt brought about by choosing the comforts of this world, thinking ourselves entitled to them, even when it means living beyond our financial means. You know, most of us know friends or family who have experienced being trapped, enslaved to debt. There's big business in helping people get out of debt. But there's even bigger business in making us debtors to the flesh. It's the engine that drives our economy. Do you have an unhealthy attachment to personal comfort, such as having every environment at the perfect temperature, to a certain food or drink, maybe to coffee or to desserts? You know, for a while I've been dealing with this little attachment to have a small snack right after dinner to make sure I'm full, you know, as if I didn't eat enough dinner already. But I found myself always eating tortilla chips, a couple of handfuls right after dinner. And so I asked my wife, I said, please stop buying them. And so she did. And that worked for a couple days. And then I switched to a few crackers. And when those ran out, I said, don't put them on the list. And she didn't. And then I switched to the pretzels. Do you see a pattern here forming? That's being a debtor to the flesh, because I'm willing to make a small sacrifice to experience a minor discomfort. What other ways entrap us? Are you a slave to always having to be in control? Would the world be a much better place if everybody just did things your way? Do you have an addiction to video games, to alcohol or drugs, to pornography? Do you have an unhealthy attachment to the political news, the gossip of the day, or to social media? Would your life be better if you could just turn off your phone for a few hours each day? To help set us free, our King gives us a powerful advocate, the Holy Spirit. The focus of our second reading is the mystery of this indwelling of the Spirit in the souls of those who have been baptized. Will we cooperate with this powerful Spirit who is always active in our lives? Will we ask for God for the grace to follow the Spirit's lead and to find the footprints of this Spirit in our lives? Because it's that same Spirit that we see in the lives of the saints who love and sacrifice themselves in a way that's larger than life. They transcend the common experience of life. They do everything possible to avoid becoming debtors of the flesh. They don't want anything to get in the way or to darken their view of God. Saints don't hate life or themselves. Rather, they have been touched so deeply by the profound love of God, which is far greater than anything that we can see, that they are willing to lay down their lives in imitation of Jesus. They have experienced the true freedom of being sons and daughters of God. And so we hear Jesus proclaim, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." Rest. What kind of rest? The rest that comes from not being slaves to our senses or to the world. Free from being governed by our selfish desires, liberated from the flesh dictating our decisions and defining our values. But let me be clear. The goal is not just an absence of unhealthy or disordered attachments. Yes, that's important. But atheists can live disciplined lives to accomplish worldly goals. That doesn't mean that they have accepted the just Savior. The goal is to know Jesus Christ. As we heard in that gospel, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. He is the one who will give you rest. He says, come to me, not come to some self-help program, come to me, and I, not your achievements, I will give you rest. All other rulers and ways will leave you empty and dissatisfied, debtors to the flesh. But Jesus will give you true freedom. How much of your heart do you want to give to God? And how much do you want to keep for yourself? Or maybe I should flip that around. How much of himself do you want God to give to you? And maybe that's the root of the problem. we are only returning to God the measure of what we desire from him, which isn't very much. The truth is that he has on the cross, and he is in the Eucharist, already giving you his entire being. And the rest of the truth is, the more we give him our entire being, the more he will give us his peace and his life. Will you experience the freedom that the just Savior died and rose from the dead to give you? Or will you choose to live your life forever in bondage to the things that are but dust and ashes? God made the human spirit for freedom. My prayer is that you will choose the path of freedom that Jesus Christ won for you.